Bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacy. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otetu. And now, today's word.
We started talking about the Great Commission last week when we did part one of the Great Commission and we looked at the command to go. But the Great Commission is not just about going, it is also about making disciples. So part two, my subtitle is Make Disciples. Make Disciples. We go back to our text in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Make disciples. Make disciples. Now, sometimes we simplify the Great Commission as go and win souls, or soul winning, or people giving their lives to Christ, people getting born again, people receiving salvation. That is part of it. But if you just look at the text, that is not where Jesus is ending. Jesus says the Great Commission is about making disciples, not just winning souls, but making disciples. That should be the desire of every Christian, not just to be born again, but to become a disciple of Jesus. And it should be the desire of every church, not just to get people saved and born again, but people becoming disciples. Making of disciples is at the heart of the Great Commission. And that's what I'm going to emphasize on in my message today. Many times, you know, and we've gotten used to it, where people come to Christ, people get saved, people respond to an altar call, they say a prayer, and many times we think, oh, that is the end. But we've also seen a lot of people who make that prayer, come, sometimes go to the front, sometimes lift up their hands, whatever, but that's the end of their journey. Nothing else happens. The Great Commission is not just about people getting their hands lifted up, but there has to be discipleship making. So let me start by defining what a disciple is. A disciple simply is a person who is a follower of Christ. A person who is a follower of Christ. Now, the word disciple can be used in two ways. We can use it in describing a person, that is the person who is a disciple. We can also use it to define an activity, something that we do. So God wants people to become disciples, but discipleship is not an instant thing. So a disciple is a follower of Christ. What about discipleship, the means of making a person a disciple? What does it mean? And this is my definition of discipleship. It is the process of learning the teachings of Jesus, following after his example, and living out his life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Discipleship, therefore, is a process. It is the lifetime, and it must be the lifetime mission of every Christian and of every church. It's a process of learning the teachings of Jesus and following after his example. Discipleship is also about turning our lives and our world around through Christ. It's about change. It is about transformation, turning our lives around, turning our world around. Now, if you notice, the ministry of Jesus began with repent. He called people to repent. That means to have a radical change of mind that results in a radical change of life. Christianity is more than church attendance, you know that. Christianity is more than saying a prayer in church. Christianity is more than dressing nicely to come to church, and I love the fact that you dress nicely to come to church, but Christianity is more than that. It is about discipleship. Everybody say discipleship. And so today I'm going to go on to teach about how that is done, what is entailed in the process of discipleship. And to learn that, we have to go back to Jesus himself. In the same book of Matthew, in chapter number 4, we see Jesus calling his first disciples. And we want to look at what he told them to do and what discipleship should mean to us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. This is what Jesus wants from each one of us. This is what Jesus says we should go to the nations to announce. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So in this passage, there is a pattern of discipleship that I'm going to talk about, and there are three main things I'm going to highlight. The first one is leaving. A disciple is a person who leaves. He's like a person going on a pilgrimage or a person going on a journey. You don't go on a journey by staying in the same place. I know that in this modern time, we travel by being in the same place. We call it virtual travel. You know, people can be in Ghana and be in other parts of the world and even take pictures as if they are in New York, just by superimposing or putting a background of Times Square behind their picture. And all of a sudden, the person takes a picture as if they are in New York. That is virtual. You didn't go anywhere. And definitely, you are not in Times Square. All right? So when we leave, when he says, when the Bible says Peter left, they didn't leave by staying. They left by leaving. They had to leave. They had to take a step. The Christian life, discipleship, it's about movement. It's about changing. It's about moving from where you are. It's a pilgrimage. So anytime we become Christians, we have to understand that we're going to leave. We're going to leave something behind, and we're going to leave towards something. And leaving is based on two things: responding to the call of Jesus Christ. We respond and we leave. Just think of it. If I call you by name, if I call anybody in this audience and I say, so-and-so, come, I'm calling you. You don't sit and say, thank you, sir, and stay where you are. If I'm calling you, you have to get up from your chair and you have to move. So when God is calling us, or when Christ calls us, we have to get up. We have to move. We don't have to be like the little child who is deeply watching a nice cartoon on the TV. And these days, that's the big problem for all parents. Either on their phone, on their iPad, hijack your iPad, or they've hijacked the TV and they are watching which one is that? All of those things they watch. And they are so glued. And these days, when the kids are watching the TV or they are on the iPad, they are so glued. The whole attention is on it. And the mother calls and says, "Hey, John." He says, "Yes, mommy. Come and eat. Dinner is ready. I'm coming, mommy." And he's still on the iPad. He's still in front of the TV. And "Johnny, yes, come and eat. I'm coming." But he never moves. A lot of Christians are like that. God calls you, you say, "Yes, Lord, come, I'm coming." But we never move. We never move. Many respond to their name, but they don't respond to the assignment. When God is calling us, when Jesus says, "Come," he doesn't want you to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm coming." And meanwhile, you're deeply engrossed in doing something. Can you imagine Peter and Andrew? Jesus says, "Follow me, come and follow me." They say, "Yes, Lord." And they still go fishing. But that's what we are doing. We respond to the name, but we don't respond to the movement. And there are a lot of Christians who have responded by name to the Lord, but there is no shift of location. We have to respond to the call. But that responding is not just answering to a name. It is moving. Discipleship is about responding and moving. It is also about turning away from the world. Peter and Andrew turned away from the world they knew, what they were familiar with. We cannot love the world and Christ at the same time. Because there has to be a turning away. You know, I've said many times that Africa has become the center of Christianity in the world. Missiologists say that Africa is the center of Christianity now in the world. The largest number of people are becoming Christians in Africa. The largest churches are being built in Africa. Christianity is a buzz on our continent. But the question we have to ask is, are we leaving anything? Or we are just responding to Christian by name, but there is no departure from anything. Because if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, we don't just have to say, "Yes, Lord, give me blessing, give me money, double, double, breakthrough, favor." That is all something coming to you. What about you leaving something? Discipleship is not just about staying where you are for God to bless you. It is about moving from where you are to where God wants you to be. And in moving, there is something you're going to leave behind. And I believe Christianity and the Christian discipleship is the most powerful force for spiritual and social transformation. But it only happens when people move from something. If African Christianity does not move from a spiritist worldview, if we don't move from a spiritist worldview and we still cling to our spiritist worldview where everything is spiritist, we interpret the whole of reality from a spiritual point of view, there will be no transformation. We can build large churches, but nothing will change. Because that spiritist worldview we inherited from our ancestors is part of the problem of our underdevelopment. We have to learn to think, to reason. There has to be a turn away from that. We must turn away from our unexamined view of life, a view that makes it difficult to improve our lives. We must turn away from dependency on others, a view that makes it so easy for us to be dominated. Because discipleship is about turning away from something, from our sense of time. We cannot have an African sense of time and embrace change in our world. Jesus had a different sense of timing from the way we respond to time. He was always on time. Can you imagine we have a church service of 1.5 hours, just 1.5 hours. People are 1 hour late. No, I'm not just saying it because I want you to attend church on time. I'm saying that you have a major problem that needs to be transformed by Christ so that you learn to appreciate time. The teaching of the Bible is redeem the time. Time is precious. If you don't value time, you cannot change anything. If we go to meetings late, perennially late, late for weddings, late for funerals, late for meetings, late for everything. You can speak in tongues all you want, but you have not moved. Because our ancestors did not have the sense of time that was necessary for them to even transform their world. They talked about time in blocks of time. Now time has to be dealt with precision. I look at Jesus. Did he have a sense of time? Yes. You read the Gospels. The disciples of Jesus Christ came to him and said, Lord, go out to the public and do and interact with them. Jesus says, it's not my time. And then later on, he goes. In other words, he knows the difference between when it is not time and when it is time. Do you know when it is time? Because we're going to the nations. One of the things that transformed Europe through the gospel is that they learned time management, skill management, stewardship from the Bible. We don't want to steward. We want everything to fall on us. We want instant miracles. We want instant breakthroughs. There will be no transformation. Discipleship means leaving something behind, turning away. Secondly, it also means following. Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, follow me. Discipleship is followership. Jesus did not just say, follow. If he just said, follow, we'll follow anything. He said, follow me. So we have to know whom we are following when we are discipling the nations. If we want to be a true disciple of Jesus, we have to know what and whom we are following. One of the dangers we see very prominently in African Christianity is a deep hunger in church leaders to dominate and control people's lives. It is so prevalent. As a matter of fact, most Africans like control and bondage and prefer it to freedom. Oh yeah, you tell people, make your decision. They say, what do you want? What should I do? And when you are a pastor, it becomes more dangerous because people are coming to you and they are waiting for you to instruct them on how to live their lives. How am I going to instruct you on how to make all the decisions of your life? Use your brain. Make a decision. Read the Bible. Talk to God. Pray. Be able to decide. You want to travel, somebody must tell you. You want to invest, somebody must tell you. You want to marry, somebody must tell you. Everything, somebody must tell you. And when you are a pastor, the temptation is so easy for you to control people because the people want to be controlled. But Jesus did not call us to say, follow me, the pastor. Follow me, Jesus. Follow me. Because discipleship is about following Jesus. As great as I am, and I think I'm a pretty nice guy. And as great a preacher as I am, as handsome as I am, you don't follow me unless I'm following Christ. But the discipled Christian is not just a follower of his pastor, a follower of a prophet, a follower of an apostle, a follower of a bishop, but he's a follower of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means making Jesus Christ our Lord and our leader. Jesus is our Savior, but he's not just, he's not only our Savior, he's also our Lord. A Lord means he's our master. When you read the early Christians, they call themselves slaves of Christ. Slaves of Christ. These days, we call people mighty men of God. Powerful men of God. But the apostles call themselves slaves. We call ourselves mighty. That's one title, one description I don't know to say hate or dislike, but when people say you are a mighty man of God, what do you mean by that? What do you mean when you say I'm a mighty man of God? What's the intention of that? Did you ever hear Paul call himself a mighty man of God? Or Peter say, I'm a mighty man of God? Or John say, I'm a mighty man of God? Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm a slave of God. I'm a slave of Christ. I don't even deserve to follow him. But the African love of superlative titles has permeated the church. He's an apostle. I mean, you see every little thing calls himself apostle. I said, what's wrong with you? Apostle. And they think by high titles, yeah, they understand our people that if you pile up the titles, they will submit to you. But we make Jesus our leader. He's our Lord. That's what true discipleship is. It is imitating the life of Christ, living our lives in the steps of Jesus. I must live my life in the steps of Jesus. You must live your life in the steps of Jesus. You must marry in the steps of Jesus. You must treat people as Jesus treated people. Don't tell me, you know, this is the pastor, you don't understand how people are. Who understood how people are more than Jesus? He created them in the first place and they nailed him to a cross. Talk about knowing people. He lives with somebody for 3 years, shares his food with a person, and the person betrays him for 30 pieces of silver. Tell me about betrayal. But he didn't go and say, I summon you to the Father. That's what you Africans do. Somebody touches you in the wrong way. Hey, fire burn him. Fire burn him. What is that Christianity? May I suggest to you, that is African traditional religion. In African traditional religion, when people go to the priest or whatever they go to, they go for a few things. One, kill my enemy. Destroy him. He's my competitor. Kill him. That's why they go to the fetish. Kill him. Make him sick. Break his legs. disgrace him. Second, I want a husband. I want a wife. Third, I want a child. Give me a child. Fourth, I want money. Nobody goes to the oracle for instruction on how to live their lives. Nobody goes to a fetish priest and say, I really want to overcome temptation. Can you show me how to do that? No. Nobody goes to a fetish priest and say, I want to really be a productive citizen. No. We go to kill people, to get husband or wife, to get a child, to make money. Guess what people go to church for now? Ask yourself, what when people say a place is anointed and they are going, oh, the Spirit of God is moving and they are praying and praying and praying for hours, what are they doing? They are killing people. They are destroying their enemies. They are asking for a husband. They are asking for a wife. They are asking for a child. They are asking for money. And sometimes asking for health or healing. You know what we have done? We have taken what we used to do for the fetish and brought it to church. We don't want instruction because the fetish doesn't instruct, doesn't teach, has no book to teach from. Christianity requires, if we're going to disciple the nations, we're going to lead, we're going to follow Jesus, not our ancestors, but Jesus in his totality. Then the final one, transforming. I will make you. I will make you fishers of men. A disciple is a transformed person who transforms society. Personal transformation leading to public transformation. Let's face it. With the number of Christians we have in Ghana, if just us, we decide just for 1 year, we're going to follow Jesus. Don't you think it will be a radical society next year by this time? I will make you. That's what Jesus said when he wants us to be transformed. I will make you. But if he is making us, we have to allow him to make us. So transformation involves allowing Christ to remake our lives. We have to allow him. And if you look at Peter, when Jesus says, I'll make you, it was a lot of training. There are moments Jesus commends him and praises him, and then the next moment Jesus rebukes him. There is a moment he makes a statement, Jesus corrects him. And you see all of that going on, where his worldview is being shaped and is being transformed into the person that truly represents Christ. So if we're going to be disciples, God is going to take some stuff out of us and put some stuff in us. He's going to say things that will correct us. You read the Bible, you read Jesus, you read the Gospels, and you're going to read things that really rebuke you. And you don't pick and choose. We follow Jesus wholly, totally, completely. And so when he says, go to the nations, he's saying, this is what I want to see in the nations. I want a transformed world. Transform people groups. Transform societies. Christianity has come to Africa. It's no longer foreign in Africa. It is indigenous in Africa. It is endemic in Africa. It is planted here. We are actually going to the rest of the world, going to Europe to preach the gospel. Africa is now the cradle of Christianity. But what kind of Christianity is it a cradle of? And if all of us, you and I, do not determine to become disciples of Jesus, what happens is you put pressure on the pastors to give you what you want. So the pastors become like Aaron. The children of Israel say, we need a golden calf. We need a golden calf. This Moses, we don't know whether he's coming or not. We need our own golden calf. And they bring in their gold jewelry and they say to Aaron, make it for us. And Aaron, who knows it is wrong, bends to the will of the people and make a golden calf for them. And tells them, here, O Israel, this is the God that delivered you from Egypt. Whilst Moses is in the mountain receiving the commandments. And that's what happens in the church in Africa. The members are asking the clergy, make us our golden calf. We want you to tell us our destiny. Even if you don't know it, fake it. You are making people manufacture golden calves. Follow Jesus! Sit down. Study the Bible. Search the scriptures. Make Jesus your example. Follow him. And he says, I will make you. He's a maker of men. He's a maker of women. He's a maker of churches. He's a maker of lives. He's a maker of nations. He's our maker. He can transform us. But it's a process. It's not going to be instant. He's not just going to give you things. He will change you so you can handle the things he wants to give you. He's not going to see you as an idiot and bless you with a lot. He has to make you wise so that you can manage the resources he's given to you. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That, my friends, is what discipleship is all about. And that is what the Great Commission is all about. And next week I'm going to talk about the three things we have to do in the process of discipleship. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to you knowing that many times we lose the way. We just do the wrong things. Our minds are in the wrong place. Our thoughts are in the wrong place. You call us, we respond, but we don't act. You want to transform us, but we want to follow the wrong thing. So, Lord, I pray this morning for each one of us here that we will really be focused on Christ Jesus, that we will be students of your word, that we'll set the scriptures by ourselves, that we'll know your voice when you speak, we'll hear you when you speak to us. I pray for every member of this church. Raise for us, Lord, a church of true disciples of Christ. Not just large congregation, but true disciples of Christ. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Live and Work. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebiri, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebiri. Email otebiri@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.